6.5%, was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round-by-round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Anna and Chris. I'm Chris, she's Anna. We're back after a two-week-ish, you know, break. I say ish because it's not been a full 2 weeks. If you happen to listen to our last episode, because the last episode got published late. That was fun. But big news, Anna. Do you know what the big news is?
Technology hates us.
What? Is that really big news? That's more like standard news.
Okay. What's the big news?
Big news. I got to meet Anna's mom.
Oh, yeah. This is true. Yeah. We had a little meetup, which was heavily requested by my mom and by you. So I was definitely the third wheel.
You totally were. But I appreciate you facilitating the connection.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a couple beers before you went to a Whitecaps game.
Yeah, and you went to Wags book launch event.
Yes, I did. Shout out Wags. It was a good event, and I have his book now. On the Clock, The History of Vancouver Canucks Draft. Sounds like some really fascinating stories. I did not get him to sign it.
That was a missed opportunity.
The talk went on a little longer than I anticipated, and I did have to just run out of there, and I told him that he owes me a signature. But yeah, it was a cool event.
Did Mr. Wagner get to meet Anna's mom?
No, my mom was at home. Too? She was peopled out, I guess, and we were going for a late dinner, so.
Well, I mean, I'm a lot.
Exactly. She was overwhelmed.
Hi, Anna's mom. we got to go for a couple of bevvies. I had some deep fried pickles, which I wasn't like, I've had like deep fried zucchini. I've never really had deep fried pickles.
Really?
And I have to say, I'm a bigger fan of the pickle over the zucchini. Like, I've had zoo sticks from like White Spot. I mean, if you live in like Western Canada and you go to White Spot, I can't imagine you've not tried the zoo sticks there.
Yeah, I have not.
The pickles are superior.
Yeah, I like deep fried pickles. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. I guess the other big news is that we got our episode published late, but that got sorted out and the network actually replied to the email I sent. That's big news. They didn't address any of the other questions I've ever asked in the past. When I sent this last note, it wasn't like all these problems, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, at least we know that they're alive. The long and short of it is that the network elected to change hosts. They hadn't announced it. Apparently, the timing of the change was a little bit up in the air, and it happened before they were ready to share the news. So, what does that all mean? Haven't a clue. I also don't know if there's ads in our episodes anymore. Again, if you don't hear Anna or Chris, myself, and our voices, and some funny stuff, because if it's AI, it wouldn't be like you or I. It would be because AI has that power to like take our voice and read it on our behalf. It's not us. So not that we have like ad reads that we do.
No, it would have to be some pretty old, out of date ad reads.
Yeah, but it's a good sign that maybe at some point we can become independent again and, you know, be the masters of our own domain and screw our own shows up as we see fit, as opposed to having them get screwed up by someone else. Yeah. Speaking of screwing things up, the Vancouver Canucks are potentially doing that themselves. I was very optimistic when we last spoke, you and I, or at least with a microphone in front of us. The Vancouver Canucks, they must have listened and had decided, oh, if Chris thinks we're doing well, we got it easy. So we'll do a quick review of everything that's happened since then. The playoffs are, again, fast approaching. The Canucks have, what, like 5 games left, I want to say. I think I'm a professional, I would have looked this up beforehand. But, we'll talk a little bit about what this means as we go into the final 5 games, final games of the season. What we think the playoff matchup is, or matchups might be. We'll also talk a little bit about possibility that Quinn Hughes may have a trophy. Apparently, he can't be the MVP of the league. Like, every time, you know, a defenseman's name comes up in recent years where, hey, could they be an MVP? You know, Hart and candidate. Well, they got their own trophy.
They only have one trophy, like, though. Like, yeah. Like, there isn't trophies for the awards, but anyway.
Well, Selke, technically.
Has to go to a defenseman, but, like...
Right, but no one goes and says, like, oh, a forward can't, you know, get the Hart Trophy because they got their own in the Selke. It's so weird. Anyhow, we'll talk about that. And anything else that we can think of that's off the rails, because it's been a couple of weeks and we're probably, you know, just jumping at the bit to do that. What we will do, though, is rewind. So when you and I last recorded an episode, the Vancouver Canucks had come off of a pretty solid, week of hockey, had themselves some good times. They had, won three straight, I think it was, something like that. And I had said that I was optimistic. I felt that the Vancouver Canucks had some dubs that they can get. They proceeded to get one dub. So, in that sort of week leading up to the Easter weekend, that was against the Ducks. It wasn't the most inspiring dub to achieve. But hey, a dub's a dub, right? They lost both against the Kings and the Stars. Fast forward to the road trip. And I think it's fair to say it's the final road trip of the season. Yes, they have two more road games. But no real trip, like where there's multiple cities. Not the best, but not the worst. I mean, the worst would have been three losses. Problem, they got two.
Yeah.
And the two losses weren't that good.
That close.
They beat the Coyotes in Mullet Arena, which my wife was like, "Well, that looks like a small arena." Yep. I'm like, "That's because they can like fit, a couple hundred people in it. It's the Mullet Arena." She's like, "They call it the Mullet?" Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, its name is Mullet. Like, she was blown away. Yeah. Anyhow.
Fair enough.
Coyotes. But Anna, is it fair to be worried? Like, is this like, oh my goodness, the sky is falling? Like, I was listening to the radio broadcast as I was coming home from the Whitecaps match this past Saturday. So the Canucks were taking on the Kings, and I think it was during the second intermission. The 650 text line, you had people, oh my god, the last 2 months the Canucks have beat a playoff team, the world is ending, this team sucks, they're not even going to make the playoffs at this point. Which, okay, let's slow this down. The Canucks have clinched. They had the opportunity, actually, to clinch their playoff spot by beating the Los Angeles Kings 2 weeks ago. They didn't. They had the chance to clinch by beating the Dallas Stars on the 28th. They didn't. Thankfully, by the time they played the Ducks on the 31st, clinched.
Was it not the Monday? It was a day off. Oh, no, it was the 30th. It was a day off before. Yes. Quite. It was a Saturday day off.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that they won. They clinched it. It got the playoff spot got clinched for them. They did. They didn't do it for themselves. Yeah, which is
the most Vancouver thing ever. It's just like the one exciting day, and of course, it doesn't come with the Canucks win.
Yeah,
and like you say, they had a chance to clinch Pacific last night. They did not. So it's like Canucks can't commit. They have commitment issues. They get good and then they get scared and they think, what if this isn't good forever? I think it is.
So,
I don't know if it is sky's falling worried, but I am worried. Like, these are our opponents probably in a few weeks.
So this, you raise a point, actually. Clinch the Pacific. Like, I'm curious how that would be possible, because the Oilers right now have a game in hand and are only 3 points behind Vancouver. Like, that hasn't reached that point where a win would secure them. That has it? Because
I thought that was the case before the Canucks game, because there was 7 points.
If the Canucks, they may have been, like, I'm looking at the standings now as we're recording. So in fairness, it could have been, but like the Oilers right now have 99 points with 76 games played. They have six games to go. So that on itself is 12 points.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, do I mean? Yeah. Sorry. Sure. You're right. I'm thinking about clinching home ice advantage, not the Pacific.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I got carried away because, cool. Yes, Oilers won on Friday night.
I know I'm not good at math
I'm terrible at math. But yeah, as you were laying that out, I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, Edmonton won. We are not in that scenario. But yes, they could have clinched home ice advantage. They did not do that.
Yeah. I mean, the likelihood of the Kings catching up to the Canucks, slim, despite the fact that the Vancouver Canucks can't seem to beat the 1-3-1. But, you know, as it stands, the Vancouver Canucks are no longer top of the West. They're near the top of the West, but conceivably would need the other teams to really stink it up. The Central Division has heated up somewhat, you could say. And as a result, the Pacific is no longer the dominant side of the Western Conference. But yeah, I mean, you think about like who would the Vancouver Canucks potentially play? It's teams that are losing to.
Yeah.
Losing to the Golden Knights. That's a potential team that they could play. I mean, I say potential loosely now because of sort of how the Golden Knights have been performing, as well as really the Canucks more importantly. The Kings could be a matchup. And in that regard, you know, I'm not entirely sure. I'm excited to see 1-3-1 hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, and I especially don't want it to be 1-3-1 hockey that Canucks cannot, like, break down, right? And also, when it, like, your one, your forward one, is someone like Kevin Fiala, like, who seems to have been carried on his Canuck-curling ways from Minnesota to Los Angeles, like, yeah, I, like, if I had confidence that Canucks could break down that, give me that boring hockey, like, don't care, but I don't.
Yeah. I mean, as it stands right now, the Vancouver Canucks would be taking on the Predators, I believe. And, you know, not necessarily a team I would like the Vancouver Canucks to face. I mean, let's be honest. Who would you want the Vancouver Canucks to play? The Golden Knights, the Kings, the Predators?
Predators.
Probably not the Oilers.
Yeah, like out of the likely ones, I think it's the Predators, and I don't have confidence in that answer. Like,
yeah. Yeah, we'll save that for half full, half empty. How about that? The other thing that has become apparent is Casey DeSmith is not Thatcher Demko.
Yeah, I know. Like, everyone shocked. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I know there was a debate kind of after a couple of DeSmith wins, just like, should we be riding DeSmith? Should we be giving him a break? But the reality of the situation is, I was always thinking, well, if Demko goes down in the playoffs, we're putting DeSmith in.
Are we?
Well, okay, but like, this is what I was thinking a week ago. Like, so yes, I think give Seelovs a game or so, but like, what, like, it's not something you need to spend a lot of time on him developing. Now I'm just like, do I think they're putting DeSmith in if Demko goes down? Still, yes, probably. But if it continues then maybe not.
I'm being facetious when I say, are we? Like, it is DeSmith that goes into the net if for some reason Demko is unable
but
to play.
Like, but I think it be?
Go ahead. Yeah, there's a fair argument that in the sample size that we've seen over the last few weeks, DeSmith has looked shaky. And Seelovs has looked kind of solid. Very small sample. Seelovs has gotten himself in very little. It has been quite clearly the Smiths' net to mind. I wonder, say for a return to the lineup for Thatcher Demko, if we don't maybe see, you know, Seeloffs at one of these games at home, either against the Golden Knights tomorrow, tonight, depending on when you're listening, or against the Coyotes. If you truly wanted to see if this kid could, in a pinch, go into playoff hockey, you give him the Golden Knights.
Well, yeah.
But that, I think, as a statement to Smith, is an interesting one to be presenting to him so late in the season. But
yeah, I think the thing is, it's too little too late. Like, this is the only run of games to Smith has had. I also think that they are ruining not putting, giving DeSmith more of the workload earlier in the season. Maybe Canucks aren't in the same position they are, but like, you would have found out a lot quicker about his sort of pedigree under pressure. So it's just like, well, this is what happens when you refuse to start your backup for any considerable amount of time, and then you realize later on that maybe you can't handle that. We just gotta, you know, we are hoping and praying that Demko just is good and is able to.
Now, have you heard anything about Demko and potential return? Like, he was on the road with Vancouver Canucks. Like, he traveled with the team. That would lead me to believe that he is close-ish.
Yeah, because he's worked with Ian Clark, right? He has been on the ice with Ian Clark during practices, but not with the team.
So do you start him the last two games of the season, or do you need to give him more to get himself back into game shape and time for whenever the postseason starts, which I want to say is the 22nd now, not the 20th?
No, but I think it was the 22nd now.
I could be misread. And they bumped it to the 20th. But okay, Canucks, I got it reversed.
Likely to be on the second night of playoffs.
So the 21st.
Or
21st or 23rd, but 21st.
Anyway, the point is, I don't, I do have quite a lot of confidence in Thatcher Demko coming back to game shape pretty quickly. He probably does need a couple of regular season games, but to me, that's all. I'd be fine. Like, I'd still be pretty confident going into playoffs with that kind of start. But, yeah, once again, we're at a point where we don't trust our backup. So we've just got to hope that Demko's health is good. Because that's the thing. Maybe you give Shaylov's a game, but it's too late to for it to be the Knights. Give him Arizona if you want Casey to have another night off.
Well, yeah, that's if it's a night off, it's Arizona. If it's the, hey, we want to see if you got the medal, he gets the Golden Knights. So you could argue as well, depending if Thatcher's not being back, the game at Edmonton isn't going to be a walk in the park. I mean, Edmonton is gunning for the ticket that the Vancouver Canucks currently hold in their hands. And I'd have to think Edmonton would be more than happy to take it from them. So that'll be a good game. The wrap-up against the Flames, I mean, they'd be done, so who knows what that'll be like. And then the game against the Jets is an interesting one, because you'll have essentially two teams that I would think by that point don't move very much. Mm-hmm. Or you'd hope. Could you imagine if that was the game that Vancouver needs to win to actually get, you know, the first in the Pacific?
Yeah, that would be interesting. I do. Yeah, and then speaking of injuries, what the hell is up with Lindholm? When do we see him back into the lineup? Undisclosed.
Playoffs.
We'll see.
Yeah, he's got a body injury.
Is his body injury an achy breaky heart?
It could be. You know, and I've said it before on the show, and I'm going to say it again. Why is it that the NHL can't disclose injury details that every other professional league can. Like in the NFL, you know, short of throwing the guy, like the player's x-rays up so you could evaluate the scans at home, it's quite explicit. Here's what happened. Here's what they're out with. Baseball. I mean, baseball, you know if the pitcher has a hangnail or not and why they missed their start. It's, you know, that precise. In basketball, very similar. And like people say, oh, well, hockey is a contact sport. I'd argue that football is the more explosive contact sport. Not to suggest hockey isn't. Yet football is probably the one that's most transparent with injuries as long as they don't involve the head.
Yeah, it's wild to me that hockey still gets away with it. And we're entering in the age of, we have entered into the age of sports betting in hockey now. So like, we'll see if it changes. It hasn't yet.
Well, I would think it would have like to. I would think the industry would force the change. Yeah.
And we really don't like the encroachment of sports betting into our daily lives and hockey in particular, but that may be the one good thing to come from it, is that they're forced to be more transparent.
Yeah. Anyhow, looking ahead at the week there, Anna, we got the Golden Knights on Monday, the Coyotes on Wednesday, off to Edmonton for Saturday. How many points are you giving to Vancouver Canucks here?
It doesn't, like, a performance like Saturday really just does not fill me with confidence that they're going to turn it around and we'll see a different team against the Knights than we saw last week. I'm going to the game tomorrow. My last game of the season. We'll see. I don't have confidence, so I'm going to say 0 points from that.
Okay. But I'm not giving any points against the Golden Knights. I'm just not feeling
two
it.
Two from Arizona, whether Casey starts Ditto. Or she loves. And one against Edmonton.
You're reading my mind. I guess. So I had a 3 points, 0-2-1. That's exactly what I was going to suggest.
Right up until I said it, I was going to say two against Edmonton, and then I changed my mind.
Oh, okay. I used my, you know, telepathic powers to plant my loser point into your brain. I want to be optimistic. I really do. I was optimistic 2 weeks ago when we last recorded, and now I'm like, oh, man, I am so much, you know, driving the bandwagon here and considering jumping off. Well, no, I'll never not support the Vancouver Canucks. I, as I've, you know, clearly said, want them to go and show how little I know about the game as a podcaster. Yet, you know, the loss against the Knights, the loss against the Kings, those, they're both 6-3. Mm-hmm. And they were different looking 6-3s. But one thing that did look the same was the Canucks.
Yeah. And, like, we haven't really mentioned the officiating, which I would say in both games was pretty poor. And maybe Canucks were on the unluckier end of things. But, like, I think maybe in LA they both were unlucky and lucky again, because there was the Zadorov hit that looked pretty ugly too, as well as the Trevor Moore one. But, yeah, like, I don't think the officiating was to blame at all. The Canucks looked average.
Oh, yeah, no, the Canucks, yeah. They're... They're making mistakes that I was going to say a disciplined team would not. And I'm not inferring discipline from taking stupid penalties perspective, though there is still an issue there. It's more the smart hockey decisions when they have the puck and when they don't have the puck, being responsible. There was a point in the Kings game where JT Miller quite clearly looked like his old self, frustrated with how a play unfolded, decided he was going to go and coast to the bench. The Canucks get the puck back and could, if JT was still given the F, probably had had an opportunity, but because he had just sort of turned off and was on, you know, autopilot back to the mm-hmm. bench, nothing really came of it. That's the JT Miller
that sure.
is a problem. Right. And that's not just him. There are other players who seem to be re-engaging in old and bad habits that I'm kind of surprised Tockett hasn't come down hard on.
Yeah. I mean, anyhow. That's fair. And maybe behind closed doors, he is doing that. We've kind of liked him as a tough, honest coach. I do think that's probably going to change in playoffs, and maybe he's less honest with the media. But, mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's true. There's some, like, bad mistakes. I mean, some of those goals against the LA goals were just, like, one defensive error led to three more. And that's the thing. It's the periods of play where they let the game get away from them. It's not playing bad for 60 minutes. It's,
you know,
playing bad for like 5 to 10 minutes, and then you can't get the game back.
Do you think this is a confidence issue? Because when you consider like how one mistake leads to three or four more, that's often related to confidence, is that, oh my God, I screwed this up. And then you continue to screw things up because you get off of your actual game. You're no longer confident in your ability to recover. You start to chase.
I mean, possibly. Like
the Canucks have had a rough 2 weeks.
There's a couple of players that, you know, like I'm looking at Teddy Bluger, who scored after a really long time. I'm looking at Suda, like, who Mikheyev, like, who really are at the wrong end of things, underperforming-wise, production-wise. But the kind of issue was in the middle of the season, like, even if that was happening, the other players around them were putting together, you know, the points, so they didn't have to, like, it wasn't a huge concern. Now we're starting to see what if, you know, people, the stars falter. And, yeah, we have no middle six to speak of.
Yeah. Fair enough. Oh, well, when we get back together again next week, we can determine whether or not we know what we're talking about, or maybe we don't. I mean, let's be honest, you and I have no idea what
yeah, we're like,
about. You actually do.
No, I was going to say, just even if the Canucks get, like, the results that exactly how we played it out, like, I don't think that should prove anything.
It proves that we know little and as much as we might want to at any given time. The universe has spoken. Speaking of other things that are speaking, it's a break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Anna and Chris.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? That because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He didn't play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
I have to say, I kind of like the question. You write it in half full, half empty to start it off. Did Canucks' early success give them the right to F around now, or are they about to find out in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Faffle.
I actually did write it out, the actual expression, and then I was like, what if Chris reads this verbatim on the podcast? I should change it to F around.
Do you think I would read it verbatim?
I don't think so, but like just in case, I was like, what if he's not concentrating and reads it verbatim? But yeah, because I do think that it's a valid point to the fact that not that Canucks should be coasting, but that Canucks were so dominant for such a long time of the season that, like, we shouldn't necessarily read this slump as the trend. and continuing trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so you and I have talked about how the President's Trophy mattered absolutely nothing mm-hmm. to us. We've had it. We've done there before. Who cares? All we wanted was a Vancouver Canucks team to go into the playoffs and be successful in the postseason. I have little concern about the F around component that we're getting right now, so long as they don't continue to F around into the postseason. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the team get their house in order and build some momentum.
Yeah.
Now, one might suggest the Canucks, you know, whether the sky is falling or not, are slumping. And I don't think that that would be unfair. And it's not a good time of season to be in a slump.
No.
But it doesn't take a whole lot to stop that slide. And that's where I feel like as we see the Vancouver Canucks, you know, go into these final five games, if they have a week, as we had discussed in Rewind, that gives them simply 3 points. So long as the effort that we see is one where the Vancouver Canucks are in the game until the final whistle blows, and maybe a bad bounce or a break that goes one way or the other just happens to be the one that sort of does yeah. them in, I feel you build upon that. And then in the final two games of the season, you would look for that then to translate into some success.
Yeah. And it's just like, what do we want to see before the season is out? I believe it's too late for us to be comforted by, you know, like, secondary scoring production in terms of, like, oh, you know, if Suda, Mikheyev, and Bluger get a goal before the end, another goal or two before the end of the season, I'll feel better. I think I'm going to always be concerned about that, but if that sort of secondary scoring lines just, like, look a bit better, that's what I would be comforted by, like, that their play is more dangerous, and it's more, yeah, the, like, feel of the team, I think, rather than things we want to see, like, ticked off. I'd love to see Casey DeSmith make fewer mistakes and feel a bit more, like, confident in net. But it's not a case of, oh, if DeSmith gets this many wins before the end of the season, I'll feel confident yeah. in our backup. Yeah, like, I do want Tyler Myers to stop making dumb mistakes that leads to penalties when he's confused or lost or a step off the play. And because, yeah, the penalty kill still terrifies me. So I would like that mm-hmm. to look a bit better. I'm less concerned by any numbers that we kind of see from now to the end of the season.
You know, you remember when the penalty kill was aggressive? It no longer yeah, yeah. is. And I wonder if that was a determined adjustment or one that has just occurred and they can't seem to find their way back to, like, the controlled aggression. Like, it has... The forecheck is just non-existent. And you, if you were to want a sort of a comparable, there, I can't remember which penalty it was that LA was killing off, but I think they had the puck in the Canucks zone double the amount of time that the Vancouver Canucks had the puck in the LA zone. It was an aggressive forecheck. They sort of trapped the neutral zone in some respect. Couldn't do the 1-3-1 when you're down a player, but still, they frustrated the Canucks. And the Canucks, if you think on how their special teams is going on the power play, their ability to get those nice, clean zone entries has been slowed. That might be team smart to what the Canucks are doing, but more to the point, the penalty kill is definitely not looking like it did at the start of the season. And that's something that will hurt the Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs, especially in the first round when it's called very similar to the regular season, but also is the toughest round to probably get out
of. Yeah, and I would say the, like, we talked about confidence, right? Like, it's probably a confidence thing that if your penalty kill starts going wrong, you know, you slip back from that aggression. You think, okay, well, we can't be attacking on a penalty kill. Well, we'll just do the defense job. We'll fall back on that. And that's massively oversimplifying. But, like, I really think that the way more effective way to go is when you're struggling, get more aggressive. Like, the best defense is a good offense. And Teddy Bluger bumped his damn slump with a shorthanded goal, his second of the season. Like, I do believe that, yeah, that, like, even if you do give up more goals, like, the path to success is, like, through the fire. You know?
Yeah.
Double down.
So, knowing what we know about the Vancouver Canucks and the fact that if they're successful, we don't have to worry about Casey DeSmith starting, who is it that you think the Vancouver Canucks will likely face in the first round? I mean, conceivably, it's either the Golden Knights, the Kings, the Predators. I mean, yeah, mathematically could be the Oilers. Mathematically, I think it could be the Blues. But Preds, Kings, Golden Knights.
So out of those, I'm picking the Preds, and I think I said this earlier, I don't feel good about that. I would definitely pick the Blues over the Preds, like, 100%. I believe, was it Cody who put out, like, a tweet before the LA game about, like, Canucks' regular season record against potential playoff opponents? And it just made for such grim reading of, like, Canucks are in trouble. Like, I'm in danger here. So, yeah, like, I don't feel good about picking the Preds at all.
Yeah. I mean, the Blues have a chance to get, like, the 8 seed. I mean, they can, in theory, get themselves as high as the 7 or 6 spot. The problem is that the Predators are likely going to get themselves into the postseason relatively quick. The Kings are pretty much there as well. Golden Knights, almost, like, it, like, right now, the Golden Knights have 2 games in hand on the Blues and yet have a 5-point cushion.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings, they have themselves a 6-point cushion and have a game in hand. The only team that the Blues are in line with games is the Preds, but then the Preds, they have themselves a 7-point cushion. So the 12 points that the Blues can get shrinks quite quickly every time one of those 3 teams ahead of them gets a win. So I think it's very safe to say that the Blues don't get it. And if the Blues do get in, the only way they think the Vancouver Canucks play them is if they somehow figure out how to win games and the Stars and Avalanche learn how to lose.
But that's the thing. If the Blues are getting in, the sky has fallen. So, like, yeah, like, I feel like if the Blues are getting in, the Canucks could play them easily because that's a kind of weird scenario for both teams. Yeah.
True, and I mean, the Blues will be playing more of the Central, so, like, you're right, there is, I don't know who their final games are against.
Yeah, but either way, like, I am picking up what you're putting down in that it's an unlikely chain of events.
Yeah, you know, there is a possibility the Canucks fall even further down the Western standings. Again, I'd like to think it's unlikely, but again, you know, the Oilers 3 points behind, game in hand. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And if that were to occur, I mean, let's say the Oilers go and get the first in the Pacific, the Vancouver Canucks would drop to 3rd based on the standings as they are today. However, that's also presumptive of the Avalanche also not doing so well and the Jets not doing so well, which, again, possible, like, the sky could fall. But, like, if the Vancouver Canucks were to fall, they could fall, you know, as far down as 5th where the Oilers happen to be. And if that happened and everything else stayed the same, you would have the Canucks taking on the Jets. I'd actually feel more comfortable against the Jets than I would against the Preds.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to say, but it's, yeah, like, I'm just looking back and then just remembering us talking about the Canucks Jets, like the battle of the goalies in Canucks. Proceed to bring them 5-0, was it? So yes, Hellebuck also capable of having a bad day. Yeah, I think you're right. I am at the stage now where like, the Jets are probably a preferable opponent, and just as a mood, I do think that it would be cool. Like, cause Jets, when Jets came back into being, and Canucks were still good, they were bad. And then Jets were good and Canucks were awful for years. So, like, there hasn't really been a strong rivalry built. But, like, wouldn't that be cool? Like, Western Canadian rivalry forged in the playoffs?
Yeah. I have no problem with it, though. I am maybe somewhat of a Canadian homer. And I would like there to be an opportunity where two Canadian teams don't play each other in the first round.
Sure. I mean, Jets are like the only remaining Canadian team I don't hate, though. So it used to be the Jets well, and okay. Habs. Now I hate the Habs because of 2021.
If... you know, it were to be that the Jets, Canucks, and Oilers were to be spread out and not have to play each other. They will, one of or two of them will face each other in the second round. Like that is without question something that would occur. And that's just for more interest in the game. I think it would be cool to have those three Canadian teams into the second round. In the East, you've just got the Leafs to, you know, carry the mantle.
The mantle, and, sure.
Who cares about them?
Yeah.
They're out in the first round anyway.
The thing is, yeah, fully. Like, it's funny. I'm trying to, like, I'm just ignoring the East for now because it's, like, it's none of my business, frankly, what goes on over there. And it's going to be a long time before it becomes our business, so.
Yeah, fair play. Fair play. You know, speaking of something that is somewhat of our in our realm of business is the Vancouver Canucks awards. At least the fan vote is open. And if you recall, or maybe you don't, there are a number of awards that you as fans can vote for. There's the Cyclone Taylor Trophy goes to the most valuable player. You've got the Babe Pratt or Walter Pratt to Best Defenseman Trophy, Pavel Bure, which is the most exciting player, and the Fred J. Hume for the Unsung Hero. The others are most three stars, the leading scorer, and then community leadership. And they are awarded for based on either your performance or the team determining who exemplifies outstanding community leadership, so on and so forth. Cyclone Taylor, most valuable player. Who are you voting for, Anna? You get one vote.
Yep.
You can't just say, well, I'm going to vote for two. You got one vote.
And I have done my votes. I made the decision. It's Quinn Hughes.
Okay. See, for me, it was Quinn Hughes. I was curious if you might, you know, get pulled in with the masses and somehow think that should be JT Miller because he is the leading scorer.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that vote of confidence in my analysis. Well,
I felt you would go with Quinn Hughes, but again, like,
yeah, like
it's just that when people are like, oh, it's JT Miller. He's the leading scorer. Yeah, I get that.
And at points, JT Miller has been the most valuable player, like, for sure. Like, you could say he's having a better week than Quinn at certain points. Petey at certain points. But, like, time and time again, like, whether it comes to, like, defense or offense or even off the ice, like, he's had a good, you know, first season as captain.
Doesn't Quinn have his own trophy to win, though?
What, like outside of the team?
Speaking of best defenseman,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who you voting for there, Anna? I mean, I actually genuinely wonder if people are voting for best defenseman, those who don't choose Quinn Hughes, presuming you're doing it seriously.
What
is missing in Quinn's game?
Yeah.
Most exciting player.
So, if you go on the Canucks website, like, they have, you know, presets, right? For MVP, for each award, plus you can write in. And to me, the fact that Nils Höglander was a preset for Unsung Hero, but not most exciting player, that's crazy to me. Because he is the most exciting player, I think, on the ice. And I think he's, recognized as such. He's having, an amazing season. Considering where he was at, most improved, whatever you want to do, I do think he's the most exciting player. When he gets the puck, I think, something cool could happen. And I do think he's one of the hardest working as well, but to me, he is the most exciting, not least because he's probably the only player that has come close to scoring a lacrosse goal once again.
Okay. I went with Quinn. And this one was more difficult for me, but the reason why I went with Quinn is that every time that puck is on his stick and he is, going up and down the blue line or pinching, okay, something's going to happen here. His puck handling skills are matched by very few, if anyone, on the team consistently.
His skating.
I'd say Petey skating top notch. But what you're describing with Höglander has me wondering if I've overquinned it. Because you're right, Höglander, he's just something about him where you had brought up unsung. I could have said, oh, Höglander is the unsung hero.
And he is a preset.
For me, though, I had chose someone else.
He is a preset, quote unquote. And the player that I picked for unsung hero was a preset for most exciting, which I think is odd.
Connor Garland.
Yeah.
That's who I have for
Unsung. And by the way, I totally buy what you're saying with Quinn. The only reason I'm not putting most exciting is that it's just to me, I'm exciting is.
Need to share the awards?
No, but I mean, probably partly, but I think the most strongest thing I have against Quinn in that category is exciting applies a little bit of surprise, I think.
So the expectation that he is placed upon him means he can't be exciting.
No, he is exciting.
Look at the expectations you're putting on this young man.
But, I guess that's what made me choose Nils Höglander because of that tipped him over the edge. So that he's more of a surprise.
Okay, so Quinn, Höglander, Garland. I'm Quinn.
Yeah.
Garland.
And Garland, by the way, we've talked about this before. It's all actually impossible to have an unsung hero on the Vancouver Canucks. It is impossible because this is such a smart hockey town. People pay attention. An unsung hero would who would the unsung hero?
It would be Ian Cole.
Yeah.
If it was truly unsung,
honestly, it would be Brisebois for coming back from injury. That's who it would be. But Connor Garland doesn't get enough appreciation by the general populace. I do think media and a lot of fans are aware of the hardworking element to his game and what he contributes.
I don't disagree, but I'm going to throw a flyer out there. Could Brock Besser be the unsung hero? And again, not to, because how unsung is misinterpreted is being sung. Yeah. Brock has had an incredible season by all accounts. Everyone knows the adversity that he has had to deal with.
But that's not what
is he the most valuable? I don't think so. He's not the best defenseman. Is he the most exciting? He can be, but not to the extent that I think there's other candidates that take the award. And I know unsung does not apply to Brock Besser, but who the heck, I worked at a company that used to go and have an unsung hero award and would go to the same person quarter after quarter.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Because
but to me, what you're describing is the Bill Masterton trophy. In the NHL.
Yeah, but that doesn't exist in the MLS. Canucks.
But that doesn't.
Yeah, just want to. We're not talking about the NHL awards, Anna. Okay. Stop
jumping
trying
ahead.
To, you know.
I was trying to segue.
Slow down. Oh, well, okay. In fairness, you didn't actually have the NHL awards in the rundown. You simply had, and I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag. You said Quinn is Norris elect.
That is.
Question mark. Plus Canucks team awards. Yeah. You just wanted to talk about the Canucks.
Yeah. Well.
I didn't come prepared to give NHL awards.
No. And we're not getting on to that yet, but I was going to sort of say, speaking of NHL awards. But anyway, let's just agree, Connor Garland.
Yes. You and I, we're on the same page there. And also, the only disagreement is most exciting.
Shout out for Connor Garland on player safety, because he wears a net guard, and him normalizing that, I think, is important. So, he's also a dog dad. So.
I'm genuinely surprised that more Canucks don't wear a neck guard.
Yeah, but I was also surprised that not all Canucks wore visors before they had to. And it's like, literally, especially when Manny Malhotra was a coach, you know, like, the reason he's a coach now, not a player, is getting hit in the eye with a puck. So, anyway. Yes, Quinn.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, you did have Quinn Hughes, Norris elect.
He should be. I think he's going to probably, like, if I had to pick, I'd say no, that he won't get it, but he should.
Well, see, this is the thing, is I don't see how he isn't.
Did you see the quote? Did you see the quote that J-Pat tweeted out? It was from the ESPN article. It's from an unnamed PWHA writer, whatever the right acronym is for the...
Professional Writers of Hockey Association, or Professional Hockey Writers, PHWA. Yeah,
thank you. Basically said, you know, like, it's almost neck and neck with Kale and Quinn, but Kale's two extra goals puts him over the edge for me. Like, babe, what? Like, it's the Norris! The Norris, it isn't like... I just hate how the Norris gets treated for, like... Like, the lost of defense. Like, come on.
This conversation had come... I want to say it was, like, Friedman during, like, one of the intermission conversations, and how, you know, there was discussion that could a defenseman win the Hart Trophy, and to many around the league, defensemen have a trophy already. Now... If the thought is that defensemen have a trophy already and the Hart means that they can't qualify, knowing how the league views goals as being most valuable to your team, I could see that then, you know, Makar does get more looks because, oh, goals mean everything, which is like, okay, then why are the goaltenders who have the most points not winning the Vezina?
Yeah. Like, if we just... I mean... That's the thing. If
it's asinine. Yeah. No one would question, like... But that's the thing, like, is that...
We can just have a computer give out awards then and give it to the defenseman with the most goals.
Yeah. You know, who cares? I mean, not to say that the Avalanche are a bad team. They're not. But the fact remains that you really need to look at the positional player as a whole. Like, Selke goes to the best defensive forward.
And that's why Bergeron won it so many times. It's just because he was the one doing it the best. I had no problem with that, honestly.
The best defensive forward, but we're not going to give a trophy to the best defensive defenseman.
And also, let's just point out the fact that Quinn Hughes has a ton of assists and he's making so many positive, like, attacking contributions. But like,
if you take Quinn out of the lineup, if Makar isn't in the Avalanche lineup, the Avalanche aren't as good of a team, but they're a good team. You take Quinn out of the Canucks lineup, this team ain't a good team. The quarterback on the power play is out. It's a mess.
Yes. But, like, I think we're on the same page. But, unfortunately, we don't decide the NHL awards.
No, we do not. Do you think if we were to go and apply for accreditation to the, you know, Professional Hockey Writers Association that we'd get let in?
Yeah, definitely. We should do it.
I've not written about the hockey for
this gosh, isn't a good stop, by the way, Chris. Like
a decade.
You're calling it the hockey.
The hockey. Well, I mean, okay. In college football, in fact, in like the NFL, they'll often introduce players, and the player introduction, they often will say where they're from. It used to always be that, oh, here's the university they went to. Some of them will like, oh, the high school, or, you know, Joe's pickup, you know, league or whatever. But one of the things is that anytime a player were to introduce themselves having been a student at Ohio State University, they declare themselves as being a former student of the Ohio State. That's how they say it, the Ohio State. I don't know, are there multiple Ohio States? But the Ohio State, in case you
mean, like, I do know that there's a Miami University in Ohio, which is actually a pretty good hockey school.
Oh, there's Miami universities everywhere.
Yeah, but since we're off the rails already, and speaking of Miami, another town in Florida, Orlando, Florida, it drives me crazy when they say from Orlando, Florida, Quinn Hughes, when they announce him in the starting lineup. And it's like, no, he was born there. He's from Michigan. Like, let's not be silly here. He's not from Florida. Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know why that bugs me.
If you're born there, that's just how it has to be.
Yeah.
Well, okay. How many kids will be declared, oh, they're a good Canadian kid. They were born in Trail, BC. They might have lived there for like a year and then they moved somewhere else, but they're a good Canadian kid from Trail, BC.
Yeah. I just find it.
I'm not suggesting anyone in particular. It's just it's where they were born. It's just the way it is in hockey.
It's just like whenever someone's born somewhere weird, as in somewhere that's not a hockey hotbed, you're always like, oh, was their dad in the league? Or something like that. Because it's just like that's the only reason for someone to be born. And yeah, in Quinn's case, I think that is why they're in Florida. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. That's my weird little bugbear.
Yeah, more for us to stew on as we go into the week before the next episode. In fact, it's an opportunity for you to engage with us and tell us whether or not you think Anna is correct, where Quinn Hughes should not be declared as being a former resident of Orlando, Florida. You can do that by following us on all the social media platforms. We're at the C4 Podcast or on Threads at the Real C4 Podcast. You can join C4 Discord, discord.io/C4podcast. And then every so often I get notifications that there's activity on Facebook, but heaven forbid I configure Facebook out when it comes to pages anymore. So if you're engaging us there, many apologies. I don't know if it does that to you, Anna, but
It doesn't really.
It's every so often it's like, oh, yeah. C4 has 4 notifications.
Yeah, I'm not, like most people, I am kind of slowly retreating from Facebook. I unfortunately do have like this one group on there that I just cannot disconnect from, really. So I do have to use a little bit, but yeah, Facebook's unusual.
What's the group?
It is called Sidebar Nation. So shout out if you know what that is.
Sidebar?
It's a really long story. Basically, it's an offshoot group from a podcast group I was part of, and now we're all quite good friends. Oh.
Sidebar Nation. Interesting. I was curious if it was the type of group that you'd be able to disclose on a podcast.
Yeah. No, it's so nothing
I was
like
kind
that.
Of, you know, I was casting a line because the way you had sort of presented it was
but
intriguing.
But also, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, there are groups that I pay attention to on Facebook. It's the Complex Facebook group that I live in,
right.
And the South, like the regional South Surrey Facebook group. So, yeah. If you wanted to support the show like Anna's mom does, or friend of the show, Neil, who re-upped for another year, you can go to the support.c4podcast.com, which will forward you off to buy me a coffee, or as Anna and I like to call
it, buy me a pint, which Chris did the other
day.
And
you can contribute.
So thank you.
You did. I bought you and your mom a pint. You can throw a few bucks our way, either as a one-off to buy pints or as a subscription, either on a monthly or annual basis. Any money that you provide us just goes directly into the show. It covers our bills. And then if there's anything left over, we may enjoy a pint, unless you explicitly say with like one-off donations, I want you to drink a pint. I was listening to an episode of another podcast where someone, they do like they read out all the donations and one-offs, and someone had said, here is this money. I would like you to go and try the such and such donut from Tim Hortons, because they do, they call it donut money. And so that's what the host did. They went and tried a specific donut at Tim Hortons because that person told them that that's what the money was for.
I just want to,
I can't remember the donut.
Put out in the future, we
remember that
if
that's
you
what they
put
did.
That it's for a pint, we will buy it. But I'm a beer snob, so unless it's an IPA, I probably won't take the suggestions.
You can't say a specific pint. If someone were to say, "I would like you to drink a good beer like Budweiser,"
yeah, I can't drink Budweiser. I can't drink Canadian. I also can't drink sours. So, yeah, I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
I'm drawing my line in the sand.
Listeners, you need to note this. If you want to subscribe to the show because some reason or not you don't, please do. I hope that everyone who subscribed to us before this transition to this new host that our network did has not somehow lost the show. It did show up as a new episode in my podcast application, so I'm hoping it's showing up for everyone else. But the only thing that you can do to confirm that is, one, if you're listening, tell all your friends and family to go and subscribe if they had before and resubscribe or whatever. And last but not least, if you would love to go back to our broken website, c4podcast.com, feel free to do so. It is probably going to be pretty broken for a while because that's the other thing. In transitioning hosts, the code is out of whack, and I got to figure out how to fix that. And I'm not the type of person you want managing your website, so just saying. But Anna, any final words of wisdom for everyone?
Just another quick shout out for Wags's book. Would recommend it to anyone. I had a little bit of it at the book launch, and it seems really interesting. And another quick shout out, just in case, there was a bit of discussion on a cricket podcast Discord that I'm on. So, and my show, this show was mentioned, so if any final nerds...
It's your show now.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that was bad. But yes, if any final nerds have made it over, then hi and welcome.
Hi, final nerds. I'm Chris. I call cricket Aussie rules baseball.
There we go. Nice and welcoming.
I'm a colonial, though, so I should be forgiven. Final words of wisdom for me. If you're trying to learn how to ride a bike, I can put you in touch with the Bike Whisperer. If you didn't already know, Baby Force went from trying to ride her bike on her own on Thursday to fully riding her bike on her own today. I am not said Bike Whisperer. It's another parent in the complex here, but I'm just excited that my daughter is able to ride her bike on her own. It's a big deal. Also, I guess this is not my podcast anymore, but shout out to everyone nonetheless.
Oops.
So on behalf of Anna, podcast owner of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, and me, Chris, just the guy that hangs out with her from time to time, we're out.